you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, myself and my illustrious co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, every Tuesday right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, Gary Knowles Network, from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Although one of the things that's so wonderful about Progressive Radio is that you can listen in anytime, day or night. Just visit the archives. And we also have a phone number where you can call in and listen to any of the last five shows. And each show has its own individual call-in phone number if you prefer to listen on the phone rather than online, and we will get you that number. Now, today, we're very happy because, you know, I do lecture all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. I was recently in Vancouver, Canada, and coming up very shortly, I will be attending the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, which is a really top-notch conference in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And you can join us. You can visit the website to see more information about the Global Foundation at gfim-world.com. That's gfim-world.com. And, or just Google Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. It's a three-day conference featuring many different healers and people involved in moving peace and healing forward around the world. So if you're in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area, you could come for the day. If you're out of town, you can come for the weekend. You can get credit for attending. You're a healthcare professional, and of course, anyone is certainly invited to join us. So in that, to honor this coming conference for the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, we are featuring our guest today, who is also one of the speakers, and that is Nurse Amy Whalen. Amy is a polymath of the health arts, and she specializes in biofeedback and craniosacral therapy. She is also a registered nurse, like myself, and is a Reiki master and a certified infant massage instructor. She also trained for years with my brilliant colleague, Dr. Linda Lancaster, and Amy completed a master's in medical radiesthesia. With over 30 years of practice, she skillfully combines scientific rigor with intuitive sensitivity to hone in on the body's body-mind as a whole ecosystem of organs and energies in need of revisiting, renewal, and compassionate care. Amy has lectured on a variety of topics, from medical care of HIV infants and children to preventing school gun violence through increased parent and school personnel recognition of subtle cues. Amy is a featured speaker at the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine Conference, which is being held in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And on today's show and at the conference, she will share her personal and powerful experiences on how compassion and subtle energy are the pathways to ultimate health. So thank you so much for joining us today, Amy.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you so much.
I see they were able to get you, so that's good. I'm glad you're with us today. So let's go back in time and tell us why you decided to follow a career in nursing.
Going back in time, I started college thinking I would either be a nurse, a social worker, or a phys ed teacher, or a biology teacher. I wasn't sure. And my father died the first semester, December 10th, 1976. So I went to college. I was a freshman, and I was really angry. He died at 53. He had Mets to the bone. He died in 10 days. He wasn't ever sick. So I went to college in September, and I never saw him again. And, well, he visited me about six times when I was there just getting me settled. But I came home, and I said to the doctors, you missed it. Why'd you miss it? You know, he had gone with this pain or that pain, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And he died suddenly. So I knew I would be a nurse. And I realized that I transferred from where I was at college. They had a nursing program, but not a great nursing program. I went because they had all of the above. And then I transferred to Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and they let me in, even though I was Episcopalian, but they were such a beautiful, beautiful school for nursing. And this year, I just felt so honored with the Pope being there, right where I got my capping gown. So I think this is a fantastic year, just globally.
So you actually wanted to become a nurse because you felt that drawn towards helping other people and facilitate healing.
Well, amen. Amen. It seems when I look back, I've been doing this all my life. And people who knew me when I was little, before my father had died suddenly, before my grandmother died, they said, you were just born to be that. You were just that person that we all went to. So thank you.
Yeah, and it's interesting, of course, because so many people do go into nursing and even to become a physician, a naturopathic physician, because they want to help people. But very often, once they actually get in the job situation, especially more recently, so little of what you do on a daily basis within conventional medicine really is focused on healing, and so much of it is focused really on paperwork.
Exactly.
I mean, it's getting worse. When I go into a doctor's office and see the doctor, and sometimes both the doctor and the nurse, interacting with the computer.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And they're looking at the patient over their shoulder. There's no touching or smelling or feeling. I mean, it's just become more and more horrendous.
It has. A side note, I just want to bring, when you said about becoming a nurse, I heard you on the radio, and I've never met you, but I've heard you on the radio 20-some-odd years ago. My nephew had been diagnosed with Crohn's disease at age 4. And I just knew that he would go on steroids, that he might have surgery. And I said, we have to find a natural nurse. And I heard you on the radio at that time, which is so fascinating to me. Again, the world is all connected. And I went to the Grand Canyon hiking with my son in New Mexico. And when I came home, I sat on a plane next to Dr. Linda. And so I brought my nephew to talk to Linda, and I began my training with her.
Wow.
So again, yeah. Going back to the healing.
So connected.
So connected. The whole universe is so connected, and that's why we so need the healing and get away from that paperwork that you had just said, and we just need to go back and touch people, touch them so passionately, delicately with where they are.
And it's very hard to do that within mainstream practice. Things have to change. Now, also, are you part of the American Holistic Nurses Association?
Do you know, I feel like I had joined that a long time ago, and I don't know. I don't think I am. I always say I am a holistic nurse. I've always worked mainstream.
But no, you would know because there's a yearly fee. So you would definitely know.
No,
if
then
you
I am
but
not.
I want to support you in reaching out to that again because I'm a very, very active member of the American Holistic Nurses Association. And you would be so happy, Amy, with what goes on there. It truly is a focus on the healing aspects of nursing. And, I mean, on their newsletter, they'll have a picture of Alex Gray and the energy interference patterns that we can work with as holistic nurses. So I just think that you might really enjoy belonging to that group, and we would really enjoy having you as part of the group. So you and any other nurses out there or nursing students, you can get in touch with the American Holistic Nurses Association and just let them know that Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, referred you, because I just feel like when I found them, I actually cried, because I became a nurse in 1973, and my purpose, like yours, Amy, was to really interact with people and help them. And I started doing holistic medicine actually in 1964, and then became
a
nurse.
I knew you were there for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And my radio shows have been on since 1978, as a matter of fact, much more than 20 years. So all of it, though, was about bringing health and healing to people. So I'm particularly frustrated about how far away from that concept, unfortunately, we have gotten in the mainstream environment at this point. And that's why it's so great when nurses like yourself are committed to bringing a recognition of healing aspects and compassion and energetic interactions, but yet doing it from the perspective of a nurse.
Thank you, because I will definitely join, and I have so wanted to sink my teeth into something that's meaningful. I felt so blessed that in nursing school, Dolores Krieger and the therapeutic touch was a model that we were taught, and it seems that that was so long ago. I'm a nurse for 35 years, and it seems that that is being lost, and yet it was so in my practice to begin
well,
with.
Well, yes and no. Within the American Holistic Nurses Association, that is a recognized course that you can take for credit, as are many of the classes I teach in herbal medicine, botanical pharmacology, looking at your career from a holistic perspective. I taught 3 classes for them just recently, and anyone can take them online and get CEU nursing credits for them.
Yes, but I guess for me, I think I took them all. I know I did. I took it in college, and we did it all, and I do it all. And
that's wonderful.
Studied almost everything, as you say, a polymath, but I felt like in nursing, my peers, because I've stayed in nursing, are not aware. They're not, it's not there. They're
as
not
much
doing
as
it, you can't document it, right?
Well, of course, and then if you're working in a mainstream setting to keep your job, you have to do that. There are standards of practice. And also, you have to get vaccinations. That's the newest thing.
Yeah.
I have a lot of nursing groups working very, very hard to be able to keep their job without getting vaccinations, which is not easy. A lot of them are
I am in that quandary right now. If I don't get the vaccination, I would have to wear a mask for the entire flu season, and I don't want to wear a mask because it takes away from my interaction with my dear, I'm in hospice now, with my patients. So I am... You can refuse it, but you would wear a mask. So I have to always weigh out what's best for the patient. And
I
put myself aside.
Yeah, there's a way I have helped certain people get around that, and I'm going to share it right here on the radio. Because if you get a homeopathic nosode, it will often, and I have documented this scientifically, raise the person's titer. So if you take the homeopathic nosode, that's not enough, because they don't recognize that. But if you get a titer evaluation right after you take the nosode, a few days after, you actually often can exhibit an elevated titer, which is legal to avoid the vaccination. So it's horrible that we even have to do all these silly things. It should be
well,
a choice.
Thank you. I knew you were a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate that. And I did learn a lot of that through Dr. Linda's studies. I just had never thought about it for myself. I thought about it for children going to school, so thank you. We always forget about ourselves as nurses in treating and how to.
That's really true. That's a big part of the Holistic Nursing Association, is really recognizing and honoring self-care. because especially in a position that you're in, where you're actually administering compassion and love and energy healing to others, you also, of course, have to be that source and that source of wellness and high-level energy in order to share it.
Absolutely.
Really true.
Thank you.
So you're working now in hospice, did you say?
I am a full-time hospice nurse, and I also have a private practice for healing. So I've separated the two, and I'm here now learning how to incorporate that in hospice, how to be allowed to write that I've done therapeutic touch, compassionate touch, cranial. I mean, I do it, but I'm not able to document. I'm still the person but does the paperwork.
Yes, because you're reminding me, when I did even, let's say, bed baths, and we're talking back in 1970 or so when I was in nursing school, I would always incorporate the shamanic practices that I learned from indigenous shamanic healers, as well as things that are well recognized,
exactly,
such reflexology. I would do reflexology on every patient. And,
so
you know,
beautiful.
I have to say, I did get questioned after a while because I never could chart it. That's what you're talking
about.
Exactly. But I was questioned about how is it that the patients that I was assigned to always got out of the hospital faster.
Exactly. And sometimes my boss will say, you know, don't chart what you do, but we recognize what you do. Could you just go see this difficult client? Could you just go see this family? Just don't talk about it.
Yes, something that certainly has changed, because in terms of nursing research, in order to document the high level of positive effects of the kind of therapeutics that you understand, Nurse Amy, and see how it helps your patients, you can't complete research if you can't document it.
Exactly. I'm so thankful for people who do the research and do document it. And with all the HIPAA laws, I find it, I don't even know how you would begin. So I'm so thankful for the scientists and nurses that have gone into documenting. I have my stories and my knowing, but that documentation needs to happen.
Now, I noticed that you do discuss Reiki, and you're discussing therapeutic touch. So as someone who really understands both, what would you say the difference, if any, is? Because I don't see any difference, but I'm wondering what you would say.
I'm going to say nothing. And the same with laying on of hands, you know, from Jesus, from back in, you know, the day. I believe Reiki, we were taught to hold over the area until you felt that you would leave, but it's a universal life energy. And therapeutic touch was, we would scan the body and actually feel where there's an area that needs our attention, and we could modulate the energy, whether it was a trickle or if you felt like you needed to send Niagara Falls. But you would sense the pulsation, the vital energy, and you would perceive it. You would just be present.
Yes, I think
all
of those healing modalities are about it. And the thing with Reiki is, too, that if a practitioner unlike yourself, who was just, you know, not say just, but who was not licensed as a healthcare provider, you have a license to touch people. You actually can legally, as a nurse, touch people. But someone else who studied that may not be able to. So that might be part of the not laying the hands on.
Thank you. I have taught that, and thank you for bringing that back here. That is true. And the same with cranial sacral therapy. You can study up Ledger, Dr. John therapies, but if you don't have your already existing practice, of somebody who's licensed to touch, either a massage therapist or a physical therapist or a nurse, you actually don't have a license to do cranial sacral therapy.
And I wonder about estheticians, because they also are allowed to touch people to do facials.
You know,
they are allowed to. And I actually work very often, I give classes to people on natural career counseling because they are looking to change careers or they're young and looking to get into a career of natural health. So I give a lot of classes on that, which is careers in natural health, how to move forward from wherever you are. And it is interesting to see that there are many licenses that do grant you the ability to touch. So this one woman was studying with me, and she was really focused on aromatherapy and essential oils, which I'm sure you know a lot about as well, and is a wonderful integrative technique. And then
Absolutely. She's
going, how can I move forward and do this as my living? And then it came out that she had an esthetist license. And so within 6 months, she revives her esthetist license, which she had let go many years before. And she was able to open a little, you know, facility using organic essential oils as an esthetist. So it was a fantastic license to have to allow you to touch people as well.
I wonder if that would also happen with the nails, all the nail salons. If they could also do that, would they have their hands?
I don't know what kind of license those people have or don't have, but, you know, if they truly do have a license, it is possible. They're obviously allowed to touch hands. Maybe it's limited to hands or maybe not, because they often do foot massages as well.
That's correct.
So it's just good to look into everything that you have available. And as, of course, a nurse, that is a high-level position. I'm really into nursing. As a career, because we do get to actually touch and interact with patients, God willing, if we're not linked to the computer 24/7. And we have a license to actually talk to people. And in some states, for instance, botanical medicine and herbal medicine is actually written in to the standards of practice, that you are actually allowed to discuss natural healing, vitamins, minerals, foods. Yeah. So it depends on the state. Every state is different with that. So, but with using those laws, and of course looking into the laws where you live, which is New York, I think, it would be good to see. It might be possible to start to actually code for some of these interventions that you do. You know, you probably couldn't call it Reiki, but you could call it therapeutic touch.
Well, that
so
is
be interesting
fabulous. That is on my horizon since I spoke to my job and I told them, please, we really need to have a conversation. After I come back from the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, I would really like to sit down. So this is just beautiful that it's here and that I can have you as a guide to bring
well,
that.
Well, I don't know the New York laws, but you can actually call the Department of Education. I know the Florida laws because I'm a Florida resident. So at this time, we have to take just a short break right here, and we're so happy to be talking with our guest nurse, Amy Whalen. She is going to be a presenter at the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, and she is highly trained in many modalities, and we will continue our conversation with her right after our break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants, preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, Ma Huang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of Ma Huang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, Ma Huang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Ma Huang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, Ma Huang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using Ma Huang, so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with Ma Huang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember Ma Huang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
Once again, to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are so happy to have as our guest today, Nurse Amy Whalen. And Amy is involved in many different aspects of natural medicine, as well as being a hospice nurse. And she has been trained in biofeedback, craniosacral. She is a Reiki master, a certified infant massage instructor, and she trained with Dr. Linda Lancaster for a master's in medical radiesthesia. And Amy is a featured speaker at the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, which is coming up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But even if you listen to the show afterwards, they will probably have tapes available for that conference if you didn't go there. So you can Google Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine or visit this show on the archive, and we have a link there so you can find out more. And I am very, very pleased to be a speaker there as well. I'll actually be talking about dowsing for herbs. So now we threw out a few words that might be really new to our listeners, Amy, because we're talking about you having a master's in medical radiesthesia. And I bet a lot of people was, what? So can you explain that to us?
I'm going to tell you that when I first studied medical radiesthesia, I Googled it, and at that time, it came up radishes. So I totally understand that. It has come a long way. But it's all about fine vibrations and energies emanating from every living thing. Radiesthesia is a method that we use. It's actually very ancient, but it's a method using a pendulum and diagnosing and treating the human elements, whatever dis-ease they have in the body. So science has known about electromagnetic fields and lots of types of energy waves for a very, very long time. Sound waves, radio waves, light waves, ultraviolet rays. But this is a time and place in history where people are beginning to accept and learn what radiates from our body as something real and useful. And we basically have a board with a copper field, and we have their blood, which is their DNA, like a little spot of blood, and we can detect this subtle energy, and we all want to get to a state of equilibrium and homeostasis and get each person vibrating at their highest level for them, whatever that is. So we detect and respond to these subtle changes in our environment, and we can give suggestions, we can bring in color therapy, we can put vibrational energy on the board and send energy long distance. So it's quite, radiesthesia and radionics, it's quite an experience. And I think a lot of people wouldn't actually be able to understand it unless they had it done. But it's a method of detecting vibrations and energy force that's emanating. And it emanates from, you can test the plants, you can test the soil, you can test the foods that we eat. And I've just learned it. It's like my teacher, Dr. Linda Lancaster, likened it to the radio waves, because I had a hard time understanding it. It's like the radio was tuned in and it was a little fuzzy. And she would say, but you're just going to fine-tune it, Amy. Just fine-tune what's already there. And you just begin to take the layers off. Whatever the biggest problem is, you just take that off and you keep going down to that core, beautiful white inside of the onion.
That's a beautiful description. Now, when you're doing this kind of thing, you're talking about energy, and of course, you're a hospice nurse, so you are, I'm sure, deeply steeped in end-of-life care.
Yes, I am. At this point, that's why I say I have the balance. I have, I work full-time for hospice, and then I have the balance. I've learned to allow people to die, and that it can be so beautiful, as if walking down the aisle and going into your marriage. I've just learned the beauty of dying, and I also so vibrate with the living. So I would like to incorporate, but I'm so entrenched in the dying, and then I have my private practice, and I'm so entrenched in the living. I find it all fascinating, and I believe that it's such a continuum. You know, and
it really
this awareness.
Is. Of course it is. It's just all life. I mean, death
it's
is
life.
Part of the life cycle. Now, one thing that's really interesting I have to share with you is my dear friend, Mary Beth White, who's a nurse practitioner. She actually runs a conscious funeral service, just so you know,
really?
For those people who want to perhaps incorporate a lot of these energetics and healing, even to the dearly departed. And also she is certified to do home funerals. So some people actually want to keep their beloved at home and then, you know, send them for the burial. So she's doing
well,
all kinds of beautiful integrative work.
That.
Yeah, on the next stage, you know, beyond what you're doing in hospice. But I really find that hospice should be so much more supported. And I really know that you know a lot about sort of the last-ditch treatments that you call absurd. What do you mean by those before you get to hospice?
You mean like absurd chemotherapy and the last days that you have to live?
That, I mean, and other
so
things
many.
Like that, yes.
Being
what
intubated,
is the point
being
of that?
Paddled, being without having the conversation so early to talk about end of life, it is absurd. It's so absurd to spend your last days in the, I mean, there's many nurses, of course, that are in the intensive care unit and in physicians that they even call us into the intensive care unit to do some counseling. But it's just so much more beautiful at home, so much more natural at home than in the hospitals.
Yeah, and also, you know, there is a financial burden, which is tremendous. And, you know, sometimes you really have to wonder, what is the motivation of doing these very, very aggressive, painful, and life-defying therapies, sometimes at all, but certainly when really it's quite clear that the person is, you know, basically moving towards the other side already. Why do they do that?
You know, I think it all goes back to that the doctors took an oath to heal, that they could do no harm, and the teaching and the compassion to the physicians who have been healing all their lives, that's what they know. And so to their credit, that's what they went in to become a physician for. And the family members want that little bit of more time. So it's a push between both of them. And we just have to do more education and more. My niece is dating someone in medical school now, and he, Mike Kaplan, he is just becoming aware through all his training and listening to me and so many experiences, and he had said that we're going to make the change this generation. We will have the conversations early with people so that they're not getting into those ICUs. And I'm so thankful for the younger generation to start seeing the absurd amount of money that's spent in the end days of life in the hospital. You know, it has.
And besides the money, is it really bringing the people into a better state of health by having one more aggressive chemotherapy treatment?
Absolutely not. The people just need to be home with their loved ones, and if there's anything that's ever happened in their life that's not right, to have that opportunity to just make things right, for us to gather friends and family from afar or to have conversations with whomever, get back to their house, get back to whatever environment they're in to feel that. It just would be so much better, and the cost savings would be, wow, we could change the world if we could improve the end-of-life care.
Now, I know that you yourself are not a supporter of what they call, you know, assisted suicide, even if someone is in, let's say, great pain.
This is correct, and yet I know, actually, I just watched a TV show with Diane Rehm, and she's, is that how you say her last name, Rehm? She was on the radio for a long time. And she argues for the right to die. And she also said, I believe in everyone's path, that they have their own path. And sometimes if someone's lingering for many, many years, and it's just so hard on everyone, but I see, personally, I see so much about the family members, but not about the person themselves and what they're going through. I see amazing transformations in people as they're dying, and the families from the outside I see how families have gathered, how people have to take turns, who have somebody hasn't lived close in many, many years, and then a sister will say, it's your turn now, I can't do this anymore. But the blessing goes so far because that other sibling did come and gave her a chance, and they reunite. So many things happen that to just end it, I feel they're missing out on life, and there's so much consciousness that happens beyond our knowing with people having vision-like experiences, talking to loved ones who have died. They all reach up to heaven, no matter what nationality, no matter what their faith is. What I see is so beautiful at that end of life that I'm not so sure if we just did assisted suicide, if they wouldn't miss out on such experiences, even if we don't see them. I'm so convinced of that. And how much pain people are in sort of puts people at that place, too. Either they're unconscious and have been that way for years, and it's hard on the family, or the pain says, just please take me out of here. But how much pain we have as women, we go through childbirth, it's only like 24 hours, but the joy of being awake, that's how far we've come, that now we want more natural births. We don't want to be under general anesthesia the way it used to be. And now I see natural death as so beautiful. And if the money for caregivers at home is a burden, I know that. But if we took the end-of-life care from the intensive care units and the last chemotherapies and the intubations and the being paddled and the 911 calls and the ambulances, wow, we could really allow people to come in and do therapeutic touch, Reiki, and massage them and just love them where they're at. I don't, you know, the possibilities are endless. So I know a lot of states, and there's a lot of talk about physician-assisted suicide, but again, I don't think there are studies because the terminally ill patient hasn't been the study. It's been all about what we see, the physicians or the caregivers, but not the patient themselves. So I guess I am passionate about that. Thank you.
We're going to take one more break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z so we can do station promos. There's so many wonderful shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation with our wonderful guest today, who obviously is a nurse and doing the highest level of nursing work, and that is Nurse Amy Whelan. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from Progressive Voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I'm proud to announce that I'm the host of a new show right here on PRN every Saturday at 1 o'clock entitled Ask the Blood Detective. And as your friendly neighborhood blood detective, I'll be exploring all the cutting-edge, important health topics, which will include everything from foods to technology to supplementation and how it impacts your current health so that you can either reach health, maintain good health, or shoot for optimal health and longevity. But what is different about this show is that I'll be describing and teaching you how to interpret your own laboratory tests to find hidden nutritional and health meaning when many other healthcare providers fail to do so. So tune in with me every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Ask the Blood Detective. See you soon.
To the Living Well Show, which will air on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN, where we will offer the latest insights on natural health care, environmental issues, and all of the other circumstances that help us live well and be well. Join us. We are airing on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. on PRN.
Let's go.
PRN. 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 Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned.
And healthy and finding us today right here on the radio or anytime on the archives at prn.fm. You can also visit us to see what we are doing at naturalnurse.com. If you go to naturalnurse.com, you can find a description of careers in natural health. We got some emails and tweets and things about that because we mentioned it earlier, and that's available. Also, we have lots of CE-certified courses for nurses. We have two coming up. One is called Botanical Remedies for Pain, and another one is Legal Marketing of Herbal Therapies. So if either of those topics interests you, do get in touch. You can sign up for those four CE credits for nurses. We also have ongoing on-ground classes where we take you out in the field to learn about what plants you can gather and make your own medicine. And you do get to take home cough syrup, smudge sticks, salves and lotions that you make yourself. And we still have one more coming up for this winter season, depending on when you visit our show. The next one is October 15th, and that will be the last one for this year. And we take people on trips to live in indigenous cultures, which you actually get college credit for. And that comes up every March, where we actually take a pretty large group over to live with shamanic indigenous bush doctors in Jamaica. And that's always, of course, a lot of fun, but also some very serious study in ethnobotany and gathering edible and medicinal plants, which, again, you can do right on Long Island. You can do it in Florida. We have on-ground classes all over the country. I will also be lecturing at the Open Center in Manhattan and also Hippocrates Institute in Florida, and those are also listed at naturalnurse.com under calendar. So we're so happy to hear from you. And today our guest is Nurse Amy Whelan, and she is a featured speaker coming up at the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine, which will be in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And she also has a private practice on Long Island, New York, where she does all kinds of natural interventions and balancing energy medicine to anyone who would like to explore that. And she is also a professional hospice nurse. So thank you so much for being with us today, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you share with us, you know, we're coming up towards the end of the show, but we still do have some time, what you would do if people do choose to come to you as in a private session?
Oh, it's delicious. You come to my home. You lay on a beautiful amethyst crystal mat, which just has healing properties unto itself. And then I do biofeedback. It's quantum biofeedback. So I put these straps, it's non-invasive, on you, four straps for your limbs and one for your head. I also take a spot of your blood, just a finger stick, so I can have that to detect subtle energies But the quantum biofeedback, it's so beautiful. Again, it's an accurate system based on the science of quantum physics. It's an emerging technology that reads the body, biological speeds, and it provides results. But it doesn't just give results. It actually sends back to the body the frequencies to decrease the stress and stressors that are happening. And actually, the biofeedback gives me words on there that might just use a word like sadness. And I massage their feet with essential oils. I may do therapeutic touch. I may do Reiki. I'm looking at the person, engaging with them. And then I use the gentle force, which is so gentle, cranial sacral therapy as well. I use pretty much all of that in an hour and a half session. And depending on the person, I will just let the session happen. No two sessions are ever the same. Then I'll see some people would like more hands-on touch, more cranial sacral therapy, and other people are fascinated by the results. People can see their aura. People can see the results, and they like a machine. They like the machine telling them, and they can see the lights, and sometimes they can feel like it's electrical acupuncture going back to the body to put them back into balance. And at that, when they leave, everyone has experienced this feeling lighter. And it's amazing. And the subtle energy works on them. Even weeks later, they'll call me up and say, wow, I had an epiphany. You know, something shifted. So I love it. It balances the energetic fields. And when I was first studying, I said to my brother, I said, how can I explain everything that I do? And he said, Amy, the opera singer sings at a certain frequency. Most people, not all, know that it breaks the glass. It shatters the glass with the frequencies that go through the air. And if you have a piano and a well-strung guitar for musician people, if you hit a G note on the piano, it vibrates where you'll actually hear that guitar string just have a whisper. So it's real, and it happens. It's quite magical, I would say. So thank you for asking that.
Certainly do start feeling better. That's the important thing.
They do, right away.
So we're going to come to an end right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Amy, I'm so much looking forward to meeting with you in person the way over there at the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. Come to the conference if you can. If you're listening in Santa Fe, you can come for the day. If not, you can fly there and be part of this fantastic event. And I imagine tapes will be available after the event. So tell people how they can get in touch with you, Amy.
My cell phone is my best. It's 631-766-6749, Amy Whalen, and I live on Long Island. So you can find me through the computer or through my cell phone, 631-766-6749.
And we also have Amy's contact listed right on the archive of our show. You can find the archive at naturalnurse.com under radio with a link, and also at prn.fm. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse at naturalnurse.com. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. Stay healthy.